yesterday, which I was very grateful for because it gives us an opportunity to discuss something with greater nuance. So with your permission, I just wanted to take 2 minutes at the beginning today to discuss the thrust of Elisheva's question, which was, granted that we're always going to need to define mi'utim in a certain sense. We do have a principle of Achrei Rabbi Mahatos, but is it going to make a difference what we're talking about? In other words, to have a universal standard of mi'ut might be a little bit reductionist, especially in terms of the different kinds of areas that are involved. It's one thing to say that if bugs appear less than 5% of the time, or whatever it is, 10% of the time, in a particular kind of produce, then checking wouldn't necessarily be required, etc. But what about other areas of halacha? So I wanted to relate to that. And that is an absolutely correct statement, especially Elisheva, as you might imagine, as it applies to medical emergencies. So if we have a situation in life, which can often happen, where, let's say, in the context of Shabbos, to make it simple, we have maybe a 5% chance of saving this person. They're an older individual with many comorbidities, and they suffer some kind of a massive cardiac arrest, so they're not in good shape, and getting them to the hospital is essential to save their life, but not necessarily sufficient. They could easily die, and let's say the overwhelming likelihood is that they will die because they're compromised. They're so compromised that and their health profile is so. Good morning, Ken. Good to see you. So let's say we determine that we have a 2%, that 100 people in this situation, 98 of them would die. 2% of them might live. And even the 2% that would live might only live for a brief period of time because, the hypoxia that would result from this kind of a cardiac arrest would prove, even in the midterm, forget about the long term, insurmountable. So that is a situation where not only are we permitted to, but we're mechuyev on the Torah level to do anything we can to save the person's life. Even though we're talking about a minuscule chance, right? 2 out of 100, 1 out of 50. And that would be true even if it was 1 out of 1,000. So that is the chiddush, and that's part of what I'd like to try to get across about the severity of v'chai bahem, the chumrah that, the halacha treats saving life with. It's such an outlier. It defies all of the typical statistical analyses that are often so helpful in determining halachic outcomes. So here we say that no, that even the most minuscule chance. Now, there are some outer boundaries there. Let's say I would tell you it's a 1 in a billion chance. That might be different, okay? That at that point, we might say that that's like saying you really have no chance to save the person, that, out of a billion different scenarios that only one person would come out, maybe that would be like an outer boundary, perhaps. But 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of 10,000, all of those we're going to go for it, even though, a sober, objective medical professional would say there's almost no chance that this person could possibly be saved. And that's a very, very important idea. So it is true that our evaluations of miut are very different in the world of Isser versus Sakana. We have a principle, Chamira Sakanta Meyisura. I really appreciated that question. And again, that's very important. That's very important to keep in mind. I also wanted to just take the opportunity to emphasize, apropos the question that was asked, is that we do not, under these circumstances, factor in things this person is old anyway. And that's very important. It's not a utilitarian approach. This is not based on the idea that this person will not be able to produce very much or contribute to the GDP and whatever. That's not a relevant factor in these considerations. That's an extremely important thing to take note of, because that is not necessarily a view that's shared by even people who think of themselves as very ethical, within the medical world. And just to, from a rabbinic standpoint, my interactions with these people sometimes can be somewhat tense because they have a very difficult time understanding, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them, a non-utilitarian approach to life. And when I do interact with them, and this is, you know, moving now to the last point that I wanted to make about this, but I do think it's important that people should know about it, and it shouldn't be kept secret amongst the Rabbanim. This has become an area of challenge for me in the state of New Jersey. A lot of it is dependent on the state. A number of years ago, New Jersey passed a law called the Dying with Dignity Act, which, you know, I believe is a euphemism. They call it the, you know, Dying by Murder Act, which allows the time points are somewhat arbitrary, but that if the person has been diagnosed with a terminal illness and they have what they call less than 6 months to live, not that anybody could actually really know that, which is a big part of the problem, but not the biggest problem, obviously. If a person is determined to have less than 6 months to live and they're suffering, so there's a process of application whereby you can apply for assisted suicide. And my interactions with medical practitioners in this area have been very troubling to me, and I find them to be extremely aggressive and agenda-driven, highly moralizing in terms of their perspective on this issue. That, oh, you know, the person is suffering, what's the value of extending their life, and very dogmatic and not really open to other points of view, that life is intrinsically valuable. Again, there was a time, not in just your lifetime, but in my lifetime, when that would not have been even remotely acceptable in America. There were some in Europe, but remotely acceptable. It just shows you how dramatically things are changing. And people should just be aware of the extent to which the manipulation is really profound. That, you know, one of the things that, you know, again, this is relatively new to me. It's only the last few years that these cases have come up because it's a recent law. I think there's only 9 states that permit this out of 50 right now, but maybe it'll spread. Is that at the beginning, what they do is they say, oh, it's always your choice, big deal. You know, so you just signed up, doesn't mean you actually have to do it. Then, like a month later, what they'll start to do is they'll put pressure on you. No, you don't. They have these pharmacies where they make these poison cocktails that's the fatal dose. They say they say, okay, you don't have to get it, but have a friend get it and just put it in the refrigerator. And then, you know, they say, but you don't have to do anything about it. Then 2 weeks later, they start saying, you know, now it's really time for us to start discussing when you want to do this. So it starts out as this extremely, like, you know, libertarian kind of thing. It's just live and let live. But by the end, it becomes this highly pressurized environment where, you know, it's sort of like a crime against yourself and humanity not to take your own life, which is, you know, they're not neutral players. You know, I don't claim to be a neutral player either, but at least I'm honest about it, that I have, you know, certain faith commitments. So anyway, people should be aware of these things, and you know, the world is always changing around us. This is the Mishnah Daf Chav Zayin. Hamevi ged va'avad heimenu, a person who loses a ged, is a shliach, hametzo la'altar, so if he finds it right away, well, to find what right away is, right away could mean, you know, 10 seconds later, it could mean 20 seconds later, it could mean, you know, I found it right away, 2 weeks later, you know. That would be a little bit in the eyes of the beholder, kasher v'imlav pasal mitzo b'chafisa o b'deluskema. If you find it in some kind of a kli, we'll talk about what they are. Rashi says there's a siman shalo imakiro kasher. So Reminu, the Gemara asks the contradiction. Matzaki tenashim shechir avadim daisiki is a matna shchimin ramatanus v'shovarin hareza lo yachzer. You can't give them back so that they could be used for halachic purposes, because we have to assume shani omer k'suvim hayu v'nim lachaleim shalo lisanan, because the reason the person threw it into the garbage or into the gutter or whatever it was, that threw it to the side, is because he didn't want to give it anymore. And so therefore, it's been fundamentally invalidated. Ha'amar tenu, but if he would tell us to give it, no sin, if he lose man meruba. So here, it doesn't seem like it's amount of time that's the consideration. It's trying to get into the head of the one who would have been delivering this document. Let's say a husband in the case of divorce. Amar rabba lo kasha, kan makom shashayaris mitzuyos. Kan makom shenashayaris mitzuyos. So that it comes down to a function of a place where it could have been confused with another document. And even a place where there's a lot of traffic, right? The Shayaris are Mitsuyos, so it could be somebody else's document that just has, let's say, the same names. This is Moshe and Sarah, and this is their divorce. V'husha huchzaku shnei Yosef and Shimon bi'ir achas. There have to be at least multiple individuals. Dilo se mahachi kashya de rabba ad de rabba. Da ugita de shach bedina de ravuna. There was a get that came to the Bezdin of Ravuna v'habaksiv bei b'shviri masal dal rachis in Nahara, that was on the edges of this particular river. V'am Ravuna choshishin l'shnei shvirei. We have to be concerned that there are two that meet this description. Ravuna Ravchista de rabba. So Ravchista said to rabba, you better get ready for this case. It's coming your way. Pok v'ayin bad la ursa boila minach. So this question is going to come to you. Rabba was a contemporary of Chista and Rav Huna. We're in Shura, and Rabba was going to have to deal with this issue. So nafag nak v'ashkaf l'tan kol ma'isa bezdin hareza yachzer. If it comes to a bezdin, so then the document can be reactivated. Uha beidina de Rav Huna chamakom shashayers mitzuyos dami. We're going to consider it the functional equivalent because people come through the Bezdin that the Shayaros are Mitzuyos. It could be confused with another document. We should be concerned about that. V'kapashat yachzir. And we're saying that you could give the get, in this case, back to the Baal, to give the woman, Alma, yihuchzeku shnei Yosef and Shimon b'irachas in v'ilo lo. Right? It should seem like it seemingly depends only on one variable, not the Shayaros Mitzuyos, because the Bezdin is a place where you have multiple people coming through. We're just talking about a situation where there are multiple Shnei Yosef ben Shimon or multiple Shaviri, etc. So the Gemara says, Avad Rabba Uvda Baugita Dishtachach Bekitna Bepumpetisa Kishmaitse. So Rabba, practiced this halacha. So there were two interpretations of the Gemara as to what happened. Nika Da'amre Beduchta Hecha Disaru Kisna. It wasn't a place where there was a lot of foot traffic. Nevertheless, it was a place where there was a very active market and they were selling flax. Right, it wasn't a place where they had, you know, multiple Yosef and Shimos. So either way, right, according to either Ikat Amre, you had one variable but not the other. Right, you're saying either the Shayaros were Mitsuyos, so it means that there could be multiple, you know, Gittin with the same name, or even it's a place where the Shayaros were Mitsuyos, but there are at least two people by this same name within the city. So Reb Zera Rami Masnisin Abrai, so Mishani Tanan Hamevi Get the Avad Hemenu Matzal Alter Kashuvi Mal Pasul Minu Matzal Get Isha Bishuk Bisman Shabal Modef. The husband will acknowledge that it's really his Yachzir the Isha Ena Bal Modef. Lo yachzer lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. Right, we could give it to the woman because we don't want to give it to the husband. If we give it to the husband, that could be a problem in terms of the collection of the ksuba for the following reason. The only reason that the Baal would have the get back in his hand after delivering it to the woman would be the woman will say, okay, now that I'm divorced, I'm giving you the get back because I've collected my ksuba. If she hasn't collected her ksuba, then the husband will go around saying, oh, I gave him her ksuba payment already. He didn't, but he has the get in his hands. So we wouldn't want to do that to the woman. So if the husband admits, then we could, you know, give the get back to the woman so she can hold it and collect her ksuba with it. Say, look, I have the divorce bill in my hand. I deserve her the ksuba. Okay. If the Baal is not willing to go along with this, so then we can't give it to either party. We can't give it to the husband. We don't know if the ksuba has been paid at all, or if the divorce document is meant to be delivered altogether. So the Gemara says, "Ha, this is top of Chav Zayin and Beis. V'zman shabal moda mias yachzir leisha v'afilu lezman meruba." So it sounds again. Our Mishnah had said, "If you find it right away, that's one thing, but any kind of delay is a problem." Mishani kavimakom shashayaris mitzios. The place where you really have to be concerned is only a place where we're concerned that this get got mixed up with another get because there's a lot of traffic coming through the place. The other view, right? This is a place where we know that there were multiple people who had the name, you know, Yosef ben Shimon or whatever it was, so that itself could be the source of confusion. Otherwise, we would have had no problem giving the get back right away for purposes of delivery. Behind the rabba v'ikadam re'avagav delo hochzaku, even though there's no evidence that there are two people by the same name within this area, lo lihader, it should not be returned. Duplika the rabba.
So Bishlam de Rabba lo amar kerab zera masnisin alimalei liikshuye. We understand very well why Rabba was unwilling to go along with Reb Zera, because the Mishnah makes it sound like the get or the any kind of a shtar is only going to be viable if you find it right away. Otherwise, we have to be concerned that the author of the get changed his mind. Reb Zera, my time lo amar kerab. Some of the chamiktani amar tenu nosnin. It doesn't actually say that, right? If it said that, I would have agreed with you. But apparently, once you find the document, you have to assume the document is still as valid as the moment it was written. So Dilma, with my response, Yimamr Tnu Nosin, Kidakaimalan La Altar. So maybe the Gemara says in response to Reb Zera, when it says that the Tnu Nosin, when the guy says, I want you to give it, that you give it, that's only if you find it immediately and right away. So Reb Yirmiyah, Amar Kigon, the Kamri Edim, May olam lo chasam el get echad shel Yosef ben Shimon. So he says the situation is as follows, and we actually pask in this way, where the witnesses say, yeah, it may be true that there's huchzak two, Yosef ben Shimon's in this area, but we only signed one. We're absolutely clear there was never any second get that this could possibly be confused with. So yihachi ma'idam emrim, oh, the same aleichos dilma yisrami, shma kishma ve'edim ke'edim, maybe we should be concerned that the name of the husband and the name of the wife are the same as the name of this get, and the Edim happen to be the same as the other Edim, Kamash Malan, that this is, Elisheva, getting back to your point, this is a Chashash Rachok. This seems to be just completely unlikely in this scenario. It's one thing that there could be two people named Yosef and Shimon that would give us some pause, in terms of delivering the get, but what are the chances that the wife's name is the same? What are the chances that the witness's name is the same? Both witnesses' names are the same. It comes to the point where you're talking about, get the actuaries out, but you're talking about one in a million kind of a scenario, so we're not going to be so worried about that situation. So Rav Ashi Amar, Kigon de Kamar, now we get into some very important discussions that have Shas implications. Nekev Yesh Bobitzados Klonis, Tehavle Simon Muvhak, okay, so the Gemara says another way of rehabilitating this get is you give some, what we call a siman mavak. We give some very, very, very clear indication that this is the get that we were dealing with. So like, let's say, having a puncture right next to the letter Aleph. Just to say that the shtar had a puncture in it, there are a lot of shtaros that could have punctures in it. So maybe I'll just get to you in 1 second. I'm just going to go down to the two dots to finish this section. This is what we call the Siman Mova. So Misakule Simanim de Raisa de Rabban. Rabba Rachana Irkas Lehita Be Medrisha. So Rabba was once a Shliach, and unfortunately he lost the get. So Amari Simanis Lebigave Itvias Ina Itvias Ena Islebigave Adura Nihale. That I would be willing to return it if somebody had a Siman, or a tvius ena, that they simply recognize. Amar lo yadana, imishum simana adrua, v'kasavi simanim daraisa, maybe a simon is din daraisa, imishum tvius ena. Tvius ena means a person who recognizes it. Oh, that looks like my shtar. V'dakat sorbe v'diranon, although inisht amalo. But here, we'd only trust the Talmud Chacham to be totally honest, right? This is a very inspiring line in the Gemara, that tvius ayin would be reserved for a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham doesn't have to provide simanim, because it's inconceivable to us that a Talmud Chacham would prevaricate, would be dishonest. Again, if we assume that simanim are din derabanan, so maybe we're going to be used those by regular avedos, because it's only mammon, so we're going to say, look, money is money, it's not as important as, something like a get. But a get, which is obviously, a life-changing event, there we're going to require something which has a deraisa standard. Okay, so that's a very important idea. The Bali Atosos comment, this is happens to be, if you want to look inside for a second with me, Simanim deraisa derabanan, he says, Isimanim derabanan, if it's only a rabbinic idea, Hadim adunan aveda min haTorah, the fact that we could have a Shavas aveda, Hainu be'edim, right? It's really because there are witnesses that testify. It's not based on the Simanim. Rabbanan hu da'abed mimitziya takanasa lahachzer b'simanim is only a din derabanan. So then Tosos asks a question, based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where this topic comes up, that if there's a siman, you're actually mechuyav lahachriz, right? That you have to make a public statement. And then Tosis answers the following. He says, "Al yidei siman makira ma'edim b'tvias ayin." That the siman actually sort of stimulates the edim, right? That if you say, "Oh, it was a red hat," then all of a sudden the edim can say, come back and say, "Oh yeah, yeah," and then we remember. "V'od al yidei siman sholim So the answer that Tosas gives is that there's actually some interplay. You know, initially the Gemara said, like, a sign, something about the object. It's not just a hat, it's a red hat, right? Which is just a regular siman. It's not a siman muvak. A red hat with, like, you know, a gold star, and then it would be like a siman muvak. And that was sort of considered to be different than to be a sign than somebody just recognizing it. Tosas is saying that there's a dynamic interplay between the two. Because once we have something that makes the object not totally generic, then, and we all know this from our lives, and say, like, you hear an announcement, somebody lost a hat, you don't realize, somebody lost a red hat, oh, wait, that my red hat, you know, you all of a sudden start paying attention in a different way. Nathan, go ahead.
Am I muted here?
No, we hear you, we hear everyone.
Okay, great, thank you. An observation and a question. It seems like this idea of having the same city, same names, witnesses, everybody, we rule that out as an impossibility. And I recall reading all these stories about this idea of how we're supposed to go out of our way to think of the craziest scenarios. So it would be interesting because that would work if it was to judge somebody b'kavzchut. We would want to do that, it sounds like. So I'm wondering if a get is treated like a cluff in some way, that it only is allowed to have those 12 lines and nothing else. In other words, it would seem as a way to fix this. Nowadays, we would probably have a registry with some kind of index number on every get or document of such that identifies who and when and where it is also, so that if it's found immediately, you might be able to do that, unless it would be the same scenario with the same names and everything. I don't know, but it would seem that it would be an easy way to determine whether that was indeed the get by having some sort of way to do that.
Here the gold standard in halacha is testimony. So in this case, we had the testimony, right, that helped us, which is the witnesses who are saying, we only signed one such document. We never in our lives signed another such document. And that gives us the gold standard, because remember, even if we had no get, and two witnesses came from wherever, from Yahapitzville, and they appeared here in Teaneck, New Jersey, and they said, you know, so-and-so was divorced, we saw it, we would accept that. So once you get to that, you know, witness standard, that becomes the, you know, the absolute. But, you know, to get back to your original point, I hear what you're saying. I think that's an important observation, that when it comes to evaluating people's behavior, we always try to find the cops. So in legal matters, you know, we are going to follow, you know, more of a propensity. So just to finish down to the Mishnah on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, so the Gemara says, Tana Rabbana Izu Shalola Alter. So remember, it says, if you find it right away. So here you have a distinction usually between mothers and their children, right? Mothers will say, I need you to come downstairs right away. Now the mother interprets that to mean sometime in the next 3 seconds. The child interprets that to mean sometime in the next 3 hours, okay? So when the Mishnah says you have to find that, you know, get right away, so whose standards are we using? You know, this is not, everybody's not going to agree what right away is, right? You know, again, how many times has it happened in the history of parent-child interaction? And again, you know, typically in my experience, this is, you know, the mother-child interaction, is that the child, you know, is still upstairs half an hour later, and the mother yells up and says, I told you to come down right away. And the child, as if he didn't understand what's happening, says, I am. You know, what do you mean right away? You think this is like, you know, room service? Like, you know, right away, I'll fit it into my schedule over the course of the morning. So that's the question of the Gemara. So Tan Rabban Ezo Shalolal, the Rabbi Nasanam Sheshah Kadesh Tabor Shayara Vitishra. So this seems to favor the children. So Rabbi Nasan says, well, look, it's enough time for another, you know, Shayara to have passed by. Because remember, the whole element here was that we're concerned that maybe we can't use this get because another get fell off of, a traveling wagon. And there's a place where there's a lot of foot traffic. And, you know, so, you know, maybe got confused with some other get. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Mekadeshi, Adam, Omed, Veroa, Shalo, Avar, Sham, Adam. So we need to have somebody stand there, an even higher standard, and assume that there and verify that nobody else passed by. The Yeshomim Shlosha Adam Sham, right? The Yeshomim say that that nobody was there. Rabbi Omer k'day lichtov es haget, enough time does it take to write another get. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer k'day likroso, to read the get. Achen Omer k'day lichosvo u likroso, to write the get and to read it. Rafilu shaha v'yesh bo simanim me'idin alav, da'ami nekem yesh bo v'tzaros ponis, ve'ein me'idin al simane hagov, da'ami aruch v'gutz mitza'o, kasher be'arnaki v'taba'as, o shematzu ben kelev, afilu l'zman meruba kasher. Okay, so we talk about having a siman muvak, so that might be able to rehabilitate the get, even la'achar zman meruba. It's from Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo, halacha, shaloshaha adam sham. Right, the halacha is in accordance with the view that says that nobody, you know, was hanging out in that place, so we can assume that the place that we found the get, right, is the place where the guy dropped the get, it's the same get. Rabbi Berchan Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Shmuel halacha, shalavir shama. Lema mar halacha kamar, v'mar halacha kamar, why don't we just say it outright, mishum da'afchi lehu, because we saw before that there were different opinions as to who was the one who said this. According to one view, it was the Yesh Omrim, V'yesh Omrim shaloshaha Adam Sham, could have been the view of Rabbi Shimon, and it could have been the view of the Yesh Omrim, we just stayed out what the view is. So mitzvah bechafisa bedlus kama. If you found it in these kinds of kalim, little leather sacks, so my chafisa Rabbi Rachana chamas kitana my dlus kama tzalika desabi, it was like a certain kind of a pouch that elderly people would carry around, so if the guy recognized it, that's going to be considered to be legitimate. So again, just to summarize and distill what we talked about today, a couple different factors in terms of using a get where the chain of custody was broken. So one of the very important factors is how long did it take? And the basic equation is the longer it takes, the more trouble we're in, right? Unless you have somebody there saying, you know, nobody passed through. Okay, so that would be one function. The other thing that we were concerned about is, like, let's say it's a high traffic area, right? So that did represent the problem for us. If the Shayaros are Mitsuyos in that area, we do conceive of a situation where a similar document could have been dropped, and now we're going to have a problem on our hand. The third thing that Gemara is talking about is, even if there weren't Shayaros Mitsuyos, even if you just know that in this city there are two people by the same name, so we certainly don't want to deliver a get to the wrong person. That would be very bad for many reasons. So the Gemara says, well, you know, in that kind of a situation, the Edom themselves might be able to help you. Because if the Edom can say, oh, we only signed one of these gittin, and we know this guy's name and his wife's name and the Edom, we're not so concerned that there's going to be another get quite like this. That seems to be like a, you know, chashash rachok. That's a sort of the more gittin-specific discussion. But in terms of the discussion that we had, we talked about the idea of Tzvias Ayin B'Tzurba Me'rabanan, which is a very important concept, that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to reclaim a lost object with Tzvias Ayin, saying, I recognize that as my hat. Okay, and then also Simanim are going to be required. There is a question in Gemara whether Simanim are Derabanan Deraisa. Okay, if you assume that Simanim are Derabanan, then we'll assume that at a Torah level, Hashava Saveda really takes place through Edim, right? There's testimony. This pocketbook belongs to Lisheva. That Gemara belongs to Martin, v'chule, v'chule. So you really require witness testimony. But then Tosos points out, well, Takana Derabanan is an interesting one, because sometimes once you allow for Simanim to be relevant, what happens is that can sometimes stimulate Edim to come forward, right? Because if you say, oh, it's not just a hat, it's a red hat. That's not a Siman Muvak. A lot of red hats in the world, right? I don't know, millions of them. But the point is, that gets people thinking. You hear, you're in an amusement park and you hear them announce, there's a missing hat, nobody thinks. This is a missing blue hat, then you look and you say, hey, where's your hat? That's the contribution of the Bali HaTosos to the discussion. Ken, let me give you the last word.
I, I, I.